going to rename first.
I thought, Great One, that we would start with Chara, restore his name of Charsay Saul. He was the one most recently named. We could go in reverse order, from the newest one who joined the dead to the oldest. The Hidden One sagged just a little, as if dispirited.
Why are you doing this?
Luke abandoned all pretense and good cheer. He drew himself up straight and fixed the Hidden One with a forbidding stare. Because you're wrong. And if you were only wronging yourself, that would not be so bad. But you are wronging every one of them as well. His sweeping gesture took in all the assembled Keldors.
I have accepted their sacrifice as a gift to future generations. They knew what they were doing as they offered their oaths and took their new names. There is no wrongdoing.
Again, you're wrong. Luke sprang onto the Hidden One's throne platform, eliciting a gasp of outrage from some of the Baron Doe. He began pacing as he talked, crossing back and forth in front of the Hidden One, addressing all the Keldors before the platform. Let's answer some simple questions. The Baron Doe sages are a group who study and utilize the Force, correct? The Keldors looked between Luke and the Hidden One. Ben saw the Hidden One pause and then nod. One of the Baron Doe toward the front of the crowd said,
Yes.
And the Force is the energy of life. Another Keldor said,
Yes.
Luke spared an admonishing look for the Hidden One as he passed. Life is risk. Life is energy, vitality. Yet you have rejected these things. In rejecting them, you reject the Force. In rejecting the Force, you deprive yourself of the right to teach its ways to the living. You have brought nothing to these caverns but your own bodies, and even then, you don't have the decency to start moldering like ordinary corpses. Many of the Keldors looked offended, including Chara. He stepped toward the platform, moving to the front of the audience.
Now you're just being insulting.
Which angers you, because you're approximately still among the living. Luke stared down at him. The dead don't take offense, Charsay Saul.
My name is Chara.
Luke hopped down and brushed past Chara. He walked to Ithia. Here is a woman who used to beat you consistently in combat, Charsay Saul. Now she's no longer your match. What has happened? Has she grown feeble with age?
Chara shrugged. Of course not. She does not train as much down here.
Why not?
There is less need.
Of course, there is no need. Luke walked through the crowd. The Keldors stood aside to let him pass. Thinking you're dead, knowing that you have no future, leeches all energy and hope from you, drains your very life away, diminishes you in the Force. How can you even feel a need? Luke came to a stop in front of Wiss. And here we have a boy who gave up his life on the surface to serve you in this place. And what do you give him besides food, water, and the opportunity to serve? Not much. Not a chance to learn, to improve himself, to grow. Growth is for living things. Here, it's as in life, so in death. One of the masters, a male Keldor even more wizened than the Hidden One, his name Burra, spoke up.
We have debated the philosophy you mention.
Luke turned a cheerful, if mocking, smile on Burra. Good for you. Debate would seem to be a good thing for dead people to do. It would keep the cemeteries lively. And how did your vote turn out? Burra looked uncomfortable.
Here, we do not vote.
Because your Lord of the Dead decides everything. Burra hesitated, then nodded. Those of you who debated, did the majority support letting the dead learn new things?
Enough!
The Hidden One rose to his feet.
This gathering is at an end. Everyone is to return to his duties.
Your duty is to the living, Luke shot back. And you've already abandoned that. Why not abandon it for 5 more minutes? He gestured toward the exit, and the blast door there slid closed. The Keldors, already heading toward it, hesitated, confused, and turned back toward the throne. You want to save the Baron Doe teachings, Luke said. A noble goal. You want to be prepared in case another purge comes. A good thing to do. Korozil, do you know how the Jedi survived the last purge?
That is no longer my name.
Do you know?
By luck, two Jedi survived. Your masters, Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda.
No. Luke shook his head. Of course, they did survive those events, but there were other Jedi and former Jedi out in the galaxy. There were resources like the Jedi Holocron. The Jedi survived because they were scattered, their knowledge disseminated throughout the galaxy. You, Baron Doe, plan to survive by concentrating. Few of you ever leave Doran in the first place, and your backup plan, this series of caves, is just one toxic bomb or groundquake away from extinction. I applaud your goal, but your execution is bound for inevitable failure.
There was muttering among the Keldors present. Ben had the sense it was not the conversation of people just waking up to a fact, but among people who had voiced these objections many times before, quietly and futilely, in the face of a ruler who opposed their view.
And those would be lucky ways for you to die, Luke continued, fast and decisive. It's more likely that most of you will just wither away, like Ithia here.
Luke turned in a slow circle, making eye contact with as many of the Keldors as he could.
Who is your best fighter?
One said Ithia. Two or three, including Ithia, said Chara. Luke nodded.
Char say Saul, because he has decades of experience, and because having only recently come here, he is not a listless, lifeless reflection of his former self. But he has still been fading for years. He's been preparing himself for death all that time.
My bet is that he's a shadow of his former self, and that my son, his junior in experience by many, many years, can take him. Ben froze, trying desperately not to look like a woodland creature caught in the spotlight beams of an oncoming speeder. Aware of numerous Keldors now looking at him, he offered them a scowl, a tough guy posture.
And what is it that you bet?
The Hidden One was seated on his throne again. His voice was cold.
If Ben fails, I abandon the subject for as long as I live in these caverns.
Very well.
The Hidden One waved at Chara.
Do it.
Chara nodded, decisive.
Yes, master.
The Keldors drew back from the center of the chamber, leaving the area ringed by columns empty but for Chara, Ben, and Luke. Ben turned to his father.
You're doing it to me again,
he whispered. I am, aren't I? I'm a terrible dad.
Luke gave him a reassuring smile.
You'll do fine.
What if I lose?
Two things. First, you'll still demonstrate to all these people just what it's like to be alive. Second, I promised that I'd abandon the subject, not that you would.
Hey, you are sneaky.
Besides, you won't lose. Unlike them, you have something to fight for.
Ben handed Luke his lightsaber. Luke looked at the weapon.
Are you sure?
I'm not going to convince anybody of the value of life by cutting him in half. Win or lose, I'm doing it without my lightsaber.
Luke nodded and withdrew to the circle of pillars. Ithia presented Ben with a staff, a meter and a half of hardwood, gnarled, black, and polished. Then she withdrew as well. Ben and Chara faced each other from opposite sides of the open space. Luke leaned against the nearest pillar, trying to look relaxed, but feeling no more nonchalant this time than during the fight Ben had waged their first night on Doran. Ben faced his opponent, features set in the neutral expression he always assumed when he didn't want anyone to know what he was thinking or feeling. Chara's eyes were on the Hidden One. The Hidden One looked at the two opponents, made a little expression of displeasure, and said,
Go!
Ben and Chara moved toward each other. When about a meter and a half separated them, they began circling. Chara lashed out, the lower end of his staff flashing up toward Ben's groin. Ben reacted almost too late, parrying awkwardly. Chara responded with reflexive speed, striking down at Ben's collarbone with the other end of his weapon. Ben caught that blow, too, interposing his own staff mere centimeters from his skin. The blow hammered Ben's weapon down into his flesh. It staggered him, and as he stumbled backward, Chara swept with his staff, catching Ben's ankle and hurling him to the stone. Ben continued the roll into a backward somersault and came up on his feet. He bounced up and down on the balls of his feet like a prize fighter anxious for action. Luke could tell that he was testing his ankle, determining how forcefully it had been struck. There was more than just vigor to Ben's bounce, though.
Luke could feel the boy getting mad, angry with himself for being the first to fall, angry with his father for putting him in this situation, angry at the Keldors for forcing Luke's hand. Luke restrained himself from sending calming thoughts through the Force. This was Ben's fight, and the many Barrando sages present would be able to detect any interference from Luke. Ben and Chara came together for another exchange. This time, Ben managed to get a grazing shot against Chara's bicep before the more experienced fighter struck him. Chara's riposte connected with Ben's staff, raised in an across-the-body block, and was still strong enough to take Ben off his feet. Again, Ben rolled backward to get up, but this time Chara gestured, an exertion through the Force, and Ben's somersault continued out of control. Ben smacked up against one of the support pillars, his back and head hitting the stone hard enough to make Luke wince. Groggy, Ben shook his head. As Chara advanced, staff up and back for a thrusting spear-like blow, Ben's eyes cleared and snapped into focus. He shoved off from the pillar, an exertion in the Force, allowing him to slide forward as though the surface under him were oil instead of rough stone. Chara's thrust cracked into the pillar where his head had been. Ben's kick unloaded into Chara's gut, taking the Keldor clean off his feet. Ben bounced upright, seemingly unslowed, and Chara was up a fraction of a second later. Luke wanted to cheer. He could feel his son's emotions, feel that Ben was in control, intense but focused. Win or lose, he was fighting like a Jedi, not a furious teenager. Now the fight was on in earnest. The two combatants moved their staves at such speed that onlookers unused to combat could not possibly follow their movements. There was a dance-like rhythm, now one of them the aggressor and driving the other back, now the other. Chara hammered again at Ben's damaged ankle, hurting it further, and Ben now limped as he moved. The next time Chara tried targeting the same injury, Ben leapt clear over the blow and swung his staff at extension, its end catching Chara full on the crown of his head, knocking the Keldor down.
Chara!
That was one of the Barrando, a female shouting encouragement. Another yelled,
Chara! Kayamash!
Now Luke no longer bothered to conceal his smile. They were feeling it. These long-dead Keldors, feeling blood circulate through their veins, feeling adrenaline pump. Suddenly they were sports fans, rooting for a favorite son. Ben felt it too. He looked around, clearly realizing that he was the outsider competing with the beloved champion. It seemed to discourage him not a bit, and Luke felt the moment that the meaning of it all clicked into place in Ben's mind. Now the boy had everything, emotion, focus, and purpose. Ben returned his attention to Chara. Chara was up fast, but obviously woozy. Ben approached again, limping, an aggressor closing in for the decisive blow. Luke's attention was drawn to the hidden one. The Keldor ruler was leaning forward, whispering intently to a servant, a young woman. He nodded, encouraging her to act. She moved away, around the periphery of the crowd, and headed toward the main exit. The blast door opened for her. Luke felt a trickle of danger, but he could not leave these events in order to follow the girl. Ben and Chara exchanged blows and blocks, feints and ploys at lightning speed. They circled, struck, parried, dodged, all to the percussive accompaniment of staves hammering against each other. Ben took a glancing blow to the side of his left knee. His riposte caught Chara in the ribs. Chara pinned him against a pillar. Ben shoved Chara clear, feinted with a staff blow, and spun into a sidekick that caught Chara in the center of the chest, making an audible crack. Chara slammed to the stone again and was slow to rise. The chant of
Chara! Chara! Chara!
Continued, but the chanters sounded more uncertain, as if not sure they could encourage their champion to take more damage. In the Force, Luke could feel the change. Ben, hurting from several blows, remained focused, razor sharp. Chara was losing the will to win. They came together again. Ben let Chara get inside his guard and lock up his staff. It was not, as it first looked, a mistake of inexperience. Chara yanked, an attempt to disarm Ben, but Ben offered no resistance. Ben's staff went flying, but Chara stumbled backward, off balance. Ben followed, hammering Chara in the chest and stomach with a boxer's barrage of blows. As Chara tried to rally, bringing his staff up, Ben struck at the weapon itself, breaking it in two. The open palm blow continued onward to crack against Chara's chin. Chara went down. This time, he did not immediately struggle to rise. The crowd went mostly quiet. A few Keldors offered little groans of disappointment. Ben limped to where his weapon lay. He picked it up and, impassive, turned to face the Hidden One. Ithia moved up to kneel beside Chara, who was moving at last, attempting to rise. She helped him sit up, but did not allow him to stand. The Hidden One stared at Ben. His expression was unhappy, but Luke suspected he actually felt some measure of grim satisfaction.
"You win."
The Hidden One's tone was flat, almost emotionless.
"Your father may continue his tedious complaints so long as he has breath within his body. But he's still wrong about what we're doing here, about the life within us."
"No, Master."
That was Chara, his voice pained.
"He may be right."
The Hidden One turned to glare at him.
"Not you, too."
Chara struggled to rise. Abandoning her futile attempt to keep him still, Ithia helped him to his feet.
"Master," he said, "I am this boy's superior in fighting skill. I am strong in the Force. But he won. He won through the will to win, through conviction, through strength of purpose. I lost because I lack these things."
"Perhaps you do."
The Hidden One sounded scornful.
"But it is because you have listened to him."
He gestured at Luke.
"He has confused you, diverted you from your purpose. Once he is gone, you will return to the correct path."
Luke stepped forward to stand beside his son. "Gone? So we can leave?" The Hidden One shook his head.
"No one leaves. I have made that clear already. No, you are not going to leave. But very soon, things will return to normal."
He took a deep breath, assuming a regretful expression as he looked among his people.
"I'm sorry, but the Skywalkers are clearly too dangerous to live among us, and they know too much to be free."
Luke returned Ben's lightsaber to the boy. "So you're going to kill us?" Bura, the ancient Keldor, shook his head vehemently.
"That is not our way, Master."
"I will not do it,"
Ithia said. Others echoed her sentiment. The Hidden One glared down at Luke.
"Do you see what you've done? Until your arrival, they were satisfied. Obedience to our goal, our destiny, was our first concern. Now you've made them...
alive?"
Luke kept his tone quizzical. The Hidden One glared at him for a moment, then turned his attention to the Keldors.
"Of course we will not murder them. That is not our way."
As a sigh of relief circulated among his followers, he added,
"I have informed those above that the Skywalkers died in a collapse of the cave they were excavating. Above, they now know not to send down any more oxygen-nitrogen canisters. We will not kill the Skywalkers, but in the matter of a day or two, once their remaining canisters have been depleted, the atmosphere of Doran will."
Chapter 28.
Another murmur rose. Bura called out,
"Master, no!"
But the Hidden One brushed his hands together, as if ridding himself of imaginary dirt.
"It is done! No rebellion on this matter will be tolerated, or effective. I had the comm encryption codes advanced. Should one of you be foolish enough to try to send unauthorized messages to those above, your words will not be understood."
He looked at Luke and Ben.
"Now, finally, like us, you must resign yourself to death."
Ithia stepped forward. Her voice was soft, a plea.
"Master, please, reverse your decision, and I wish you would consider something that has been troubling me for years now, something that I have tried to bring up with you many times, something you have never been willing to hear."
"Which is what?"
"Our purpose here."
She paused for a moment, as if trying to gather the right words.
Our lives here only have meaning if the worst occurs, if the Baron Doe are wiped out above and must be restored. If that never happens, our lives here are wasted.
Which is why we choose to be dead before we descend to this place.
The Hidden One sounded annoyed. There was no sign on his face that Ithia's words had meant anything to him.
Master.
A look of great sadness crossed Ithia's face.
You're wrong. You're wrong in what you're doing to the Skywalkers. And I think it's time for you to understand and admit that this experiment is a failure.
This is no experiment!
The Hidden One was suddenly on his feet, his voice raised in a shrill shout, his anger so potent that all present except Luke and Ben took a step backward.
It is our way, and it will continue to be our way! It is time for you to be silent and obey!
Like the dead.
Sorrowfully, Ithia shook her head.
No, Master.
The Hidden One stood on his platform, breathing hard, and then stepping down to the stone floor.
I see. I cannot let these humans remain among us, even for the time it would take them to suffocate. Their influence is too strong.
He raised his hands. Little crackles of electricity flickered between them.
I will show you life. I will show you the Force.
Ben, Luke whispered, stand back. It happened all at once. The Hidden One gesturing toward Luke, Ben leaping away, lightning flashing from the Hidden One's hands. It was not the purplish lightning of Emperor Palpatine, which had so nearly cost Luke his life nearly 40 years before. It was all brilliant whiteness. Luke had his lightsaber activated and up in time. The lightning crackled against his glowing blade. The strength behind the attack of the Hidden One's energy and anger took Luke off his feet and threw him backward. He slammed into a pillar, feeling jolts of pain in his spine and the back of his head. But the lightning did not reach him. His blade kept it at bay. And bracing himself with the Force, Luke took a step forward. The Hidden One tossed his head. It was not just a gesture of anger. Luke felt the motion as a ripple in the Force. The air in the chamber responded. A wind, springing up and roaring around the walls of the chamber, gaining speed and strength. It tattered the robes of the Keldors near the walls as it went. It veered from the wall over the throne and howled down at Luke, engulfing him, trying to drive him backward. Luke gritted his teeth and rooted himself. Then, against the might of both wind and lightning, he took another step forward. The Hidden One's eyes widened. His head rolled around on his shoulders, and the roar of air across Luke intensified. It tore at his robes, causing them to stand out from his body, shudder and snap in the wind. Luke took another step forward. It was slow going, for the Hidden One's power was great. But Luke now felt sure in his footing and in his own strength. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw Keldors retreating, some of them streaming out through the blast door, Ben waving them onward. The Hidden One's face, flushed fully red, was contorted in a mask of anger. He flicked his fingers, and the lightning ceased. He moved his now freed hands in circular gestures. Luke felt the wind increase in ferocity. Most of it still whirled around the chamber before battering at him. But some, a diverted flow, spun in a tight circle directly in front of the Hidden One. As Luke watched, that errant stream of air swallowed up dust from the floor and walls, defining its outlines as a miniature funnel cloud, a few centimeters wide at its base, and broadening to 2 meters at the ceiling. It writhed like a mortally wounded serpent. With a gesture, the Hidden One sent the whirlwind straight at Luke. Luke lunged at it, visualizing it, wrenching at it with the Force. His exertion was like a physical blow as he stepped into it. He felt the wind intensify for a bare moment, and then his telekinetic attack flung the whirlwind free. It rocketed off to the side and hammered into a pillar to Luke's left. Luke took another step forward. He was more than halfway to the Hidden One now. He deactivated his lightsaber. He could turn it on again swiftly enough if the Hidden One brought forth his lightning a second time. The whirlwind moved from pillar to pillar as if leaping. When it was directly behind Luke, it lingered there. Luke kept his senses, both the physical ones and that of the Force alert to its movements. It hammered at the pillar itself, and Luke could hear and feel the permacrete mounting at the summit begin to crack. The mounting at the base broke too, and the pillar toppled toward Luke. He heard Ben's warning cry. He raised his left hand backward, using the same exertion he'd made a moment earlier against the whirlwind itself, and the pillar stopped, frozen in midfall. He gestured again, and it reversed direction, toppling onto the empty floor. And Luke took another step forward. The Hidden One's howl of outrage was like that of his own wind. The stone thrown behind him rocked and rattled on its platform. Luke made a sweeping gesture, bringing his rear hand forward, and with it came the toppled pillar, flying forward like a spear. As the throne launched itself toward him, the pillar met it in midair, shattering the stone seat into a dozen pieces, some smooth cut and some broken. Luke let the pillar fall to the floor. With a wave of his hand, he set it rolling toward the Hidden One, who leapt sideways over it as it neared him. Luke was already in motion as the Hidden One jumped. The Keldor's concentration was broken. His control over the wind diminished, and Luke was able to race forward 3 steps in the time it took the Hidden One to clear the rolling pillar. As the Baron Doe Master came down again, Luke kicked out, a spinning kick that caught the Keldor in the gut, throwing him backward. The Hidden One smashed up against the platform's front, crushing in its wooden front panel. Remarkably, he stood up from the impact, raised his hands for another attack, and collapsed, falling onto his face. The wind died. The rolling pillar fetched up against one that was still upright and stopped. All sounds died, except that of the Hidden One's strained, frantic breathing. There were still a few other Keldors in the chamber, mostly masters, and they began to move forward. Ithia ran up to kneel beside the Hidden One. Chara, moving more slowly, joined her. After looking at the Hidden One for a few moments, they cautiously rolled him over onto his back. Ithia sat beside the platform and pulled him up so that he could be partially upright, propped against her. She looked up at those in the chamber.
"He is exhausted,"
she said.
"He will recover."
The Hidden One said something, his voice so low as to constitute a whisper, and then exerted himself to be heard.
"I will do as you say."
Ithia looked relieved.
"You will free the Skywalkers?"
"I will allow the servants to learn. I will appoint a board of advisors to make recommendations about our purpose and morale."
The Hidden One gulped for air for a moment.
"I will tell those above that the earlier message was a mistake. They can resume sending air canisters for the humans, and in a year or two we can review their situation with new eyes."
"A year or two?"
That was Ben, his voice an expression of pure outrage.
"Don't you get that you lost? You're not going to be making any more decisions like that."
"He's right, Master."
Ithia's voice was softer than Ben's, but just as unrelenting.
"It's time for them to go."
The Hidden One shook his head, weary.
"I still decide, and no one leaves."
"You're just too crazy to learn."
Ben's hand shot up, pointing toward the ceiling above the platform. Luke, breathing hard as he recovered from his exertions, distinctly heard a metallic clunk, as something in the ceiling was driven home. There was a distant boom and the tiniest shiver of chamber walls and pillars. The Hidden One sat upright, away from Ithia. His eyes widened as he turned toward Ben.
"What have you done?"
"The same thing you did to us."
Ben's tone and expression held contempt. He limped forward until he was only a couple of meters from the Hidden One.
"I've taken your choice away. I've activated your bombs and collapsed the entry tunnel. It's gone. You want it open again? Prepare to spend a few hundred years with your pickaxes and shovels."
"You have only doomed yourself."
The Hidden One looked more stricken than angry.
"Now your heir cannot come, while we can survive."
"Stop lying. I'm sick of your lying. Your whole petty kingdom down here is based on lies, and that's part of the wrong you're doing to all of the people who serve you. It's pathetic."
The Hidden One's jaw moved, but he said nothing.
"What lies?"
That was Chara, seating himself on the edge of the platform, pressing a palm against his ribs. Ben sighed.
"Well, Let's start with your so-called self-sufficiency. Yes, you have hydroponics, provides nice fresh vegetables. Good for you. But if they met all of your food needs, you wouldn't have storerooms full of food from above. King Paranoia there.
Show respect, Ben. Luke's voice was soft, but he let an edge of warning creep into it.
Yes, sir.
Ben took a couple of deep, calming breaths.
Cora Zill there wouldn't tolerate the risk of those food shipments being detected or traced down here if the food wasn't absolutely necessary. Therefore, it is. Therefore, in blowing up the tunnel, I've doomed us all. We suffocate, you starve. Except for the other lies. Here's the next one. Look.
He gestured at the exit. Most of the Keldors followed his gaze, then looked back at him, confused.
Blast doors,
Ben said, as if explaining to a none-too-bright classroom of younglings.
The lie that these big doors were made here. Your foundries do fine for recycling metal containers and making metal parts, but they're not big enough to build blast doors. The big pieces had to come from an industrial-sized metal plant, and they're too big to fit down your little tunnel. So where did they come from? There's lie number three, the really big one. That lie says the tunnel you've been using for shipments, 200 kilometers of pure tedium, is in any way necessary. It's not. Here's why. Lie number four. The lie that if the bad thing happens, and the barren dough are wiped out up top, you'll wait for the dust to settle, then begin teaching new sages by telepathy. No, you won't. The technique doesn't exist. If it did, the Hidden One would have issued his orders to the surface by telepathy, not by comlink. Those blast doors came down by bigger tunnels. The first tunnels dug down to this place. And if the bad thing happened, you were going to get back to the surface by those tunnels and spread out to begin your teaching. Those are the lies most of you have lived with down here for I don't know how many years. Probably only the Hidden One and the first generation of Baron Doe dead sages know where the big tunnel is. But it's here, and now you need it.
Ben glared, defiant at the Hidden One. The Hidden One tried again to stand. Ithia attempted to hold him in place, but then relented, and the aged Keldor got to his feet. He faced Ben, unbowed, unrelenting.
Then you have killed us all, not just yourself. I will not give up the secrets of this place, nor will anyone else.
Undismayed, Ben stared at him.
So your pride is more important than your mission? The fact that you rule here and would be just another retired master up there means nearly 50 of your followers have to die?
The Hidden One glowered, but did not answer. Burra did. His expression, sorrowful. He stepped forward.
The tunnel out is just above the garment storeroom.
The Hidden One turned on him, his eyes eloquent with the betrayal he felt.
Burra! Not you!
The ceiling there is synthstone, artfully detailed to match the natural stone around it. A few blows with chisels will reveal a sliding hatch. Above it is a turbolift chamber. Its generator will